So my message for you guys today is, are you a thermostat or a thermometer? Do you allow your current situations and circumstances to determine your spiritual climate? Are you the one that comes in and sets the atmosphere everywhere you go? I don't know about you guys, but my dad, he's a thermostat, like, Nazi guru guy. Like, he is, like, on it. If you touch that thing, he knows. You could be outside mowing the lawn, like, 5 acres away. You touch that thing 1 degree, he'll run the house and be like, who touched it? You know, like, he knows when someone touched a thermostat. Now, there's only one person who has the strength and power to oppose him, and that's Mama Bear, okay? So when Mom gets in, you know, they go back and forth. She's like, I want it cooler in here, and he wants it hotter. He always wants it 3 degrees hotter than she does. But finally, after everything settles, the dust settles, Mama gets her way and looks at him and says, don't touch it, and then she walks out of the room. Meanwhile, it's just me and my dad standing there. And you can imagine what's going to happen next. My dad looks at the thermostat, looks at me, looks at thermostat, looks at me, looks at thermostat, looks at me, and then he says the most dreadful words a teenager could ever hear in that moment. Don't tell Mom. All of a sudden, I have been made an accomplice in his scheme. That's it, I'm done. So what happens is then when Mom comes back in and he's turned it up 3 degrees, who's he going to point the finger to? He ain't going to say, sorry, honey, it was my fault. No, it's the kid, okay? He looks at the kid, he's like, he didn't stop me, he allowed this to happen. Your holy, godly son allowed this to happen. So now I'm a sinner and a liar and like an all-one scheme, okay? So I'm set up from the beginning. So that's my challenge for you guys today. So are you that thermostat or are you the thermometer? So we're going to pull our scriptures out, and we're actually going to take it out of Exodus 32, 1 through 5. I'm going to paraphrase some after that just because I get bored really fast, and I don't talk very long, as you'll learn. So we're just going to hit on a few things, and I'll paraphrase. So Exodus 32, 1 through 5, it's about the golden calf, or as I refer to it, the golden moo-moo. Now, I didn't know this, but apparently back in the old days, that long gown that women wear that look like they're windy waiting for Peter Pan is called a moo-moo. I did not know that. I ain't talking about that moo-moo. I'm talking about a cow. I'm just putting it out there, okay? So, starting verse 1, verse 32. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, your daughters are wearing. Hey, I got earrings. I'm still cool. So wearing and bring them to me so that all the people took off the earrings, brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him, made it into an idol, cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day the people rose early, sacrificed burnt offerings, and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards, they sat down to eat, drink, and got up to indulge. You know, God wasn't too happy about this. Moses was up on the mountain. He was in Mount Sinai at this time. He was getting the download. He was the first one to get on the cloud and get the download onto his tablet now. Okay, so he was up on Mount Sinai getting the word from God, putting it on the Ten Commandments. He was making some things happen, right? So he was up there. God sees this take place, and he's furious. He wants to destroy the Israelites. But Moses petitions, he's like, dude, bro, this is the message version. Dude, bro, just wait, I got this, hold on, don't destroy them. So Moses goes down, and he sees what the people are doing, and he drops the tablets and he breaks them. Sorry, there's no Kinko's, you can't make copies. You got to chisel them babies all over again. But I'm going to say this on the side note, don't tell me that prayer doesn't change things, because even when Moses petitioned before God, God wanted to destroy the Israelites. Moses petitioned, and he spared them of the wrath that God originally was going to give them. And I don't think it was, because we know God's omnipresent, he knows everything. I think God was looking for someone to stand firm for him and to be on his side before he changed his mind. So prayer changes things. But Moses dropped them tablets, broke them, saw what they were doing. He was mad. He was furious. He ground up that golden calf and made the Israelites drink it, the first and worst protein shake ever made. Okay, not good. So he makes them drink it, and then he looks at Aaron, and he's like, what did they do to you to make you drive them into such great sin. The first thing Aaron does, like most of us, he says, bro, dude, you've seen them people. They're crazy. They're evil. They're away from you from the beginning. They're just evil people, dude. I did what I could. That's kind of his mentality. And then after a second passage, he looks at Moses and he's like, well, you weren't even here. They were wondering where you're at. So then he kind of blames Moses for not being present. And then he goes back and he says, dude, this is what happened. I got all this gold. It was pretty sweet. And I threw it in the fire and out came this calf. So he makes it sound like the calf magically appeared, but when we read scripture earlier, he took the time to chisel and to make this calf. It didn't happen. It took time to be disobedient. It wasn't something that just kind of happened. He fell into it, and it was a process. So we see that reading this scripture, reading this word, that Aaron was a thermometer. He allowed his current situations and circumstances to determine his spiritual climate. The Israelites, the wine baggers, as I call them, the wine baggers come up to Aaron, and then he is swayed by what the people had to say. Instead of focusing on God, he allowed the people to determine the spiritual climate. And then we see that Moses came in with a heart for God. He came in and he set the standard. He removed the things that weren't of God, and he pushed the people to have reverence for God once again. And that's what God calls us to be. He calls us to be this thermostat that wherever we go, we set the standard, we set the bar, and we usher in the presence of God. You know, I've had one of these things that's always been a blessing to me. And what that is whatever job I've worked in many different jobs. Many different jobs. I've worked in kitchens, in restaurants. I've, you know, worked with cars and stuff like that, auto parts stores and things. Worked at a golf course. That was the fun one because you get to drive the car. Is everyone shooting balls at you? You know, that's the best. That's the best. But I've had a bunch of other jobs outside of that. But every job I have ever been to, the Lord has given me favor. And I would have my boss, and he would come and ask me, and he'd be like, dude, how do you do it? I'm like, how do you do what? Look this good? You know? And he'd be like, no, how do you, obviously he knew I was lying. He said, no, how are you so happy every time you come to work? And I told him, it's the presence of God on my life. It's my relationship with Jesus Christ on my life. And then I would have people messaging me from work when I would change jobs. And be like, dude, we wish you were here. We miss you. They probably did miss my crazy, quirky personality. But the reality is what they really missed was the presence of God on my life. Plain and simple. Because when I came in with joy, I came in with peace, I came in with love. I would encourage them, I would build them up, I would have a good time. The Lord gave me opportunity where I could pray with my boss. I remember I had one boss who he had a son was born and he had all these health issues. And we would just pray and petition with him and we would see God move over his son. I remember I prayed with another coworker and spoke the word and spoke truth over him because he had fallen away from church. He had fallen away from having a relationship with God. And then I saw him a year later. He was on fire for God, tithing regularly, and his whole life was a complete 180 from what it was when I knew him. And that took place because I was a light wherever I went, whether I realized it or not. So I encourage you in your workplace, don't allow the people that drive you nuts to get to you. Don't allow the people to weigh you down and become just like the Israelites and give in to moaning and complaining, but be the one that's the encourager. Be the one that comes in with joy and the Holy Ghost, and you're going to see some things change in your workplace. You will. You will. And you can't allow your life and the life circumstances and situations like finances and marriage stuff and whatever that's weighing on you to affect your witness. You got to be sold out for kingdom purposes. One thing that I found very interesting as I read these passages is that if you look at the Israelites, we know that they went into disobedience so many times. But if you really go back and look to where it all started, it started in chapter 16, and we see that the first complaint they have is about the manna. But it wasn't really the manna is what started it necessarily. It was the fact that they got distracted by a need. they needed food. And because they needed that food, they took their eyes off God and focused on their need. So I want to tell you something, is that distractions lead to disobedience. And when we are disobedient to God, we're outside of His will. So the Israelites, they got distracted. And because they were distracted, they fell into a lifestyle pattern of disobedience. So don't allow yourselves to be distracted from kingdom purposes. Be distraction-proof in everything that comes your way and focused on the kingdom. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick little story that I used to have a golden calf in my life. I'm a car guy, okay? I love cars. I love going fast, okay? I've driven 750 horsepower Mustang and loved it. It was a lot of fun. I love cars, okay? So in my life, before my wife and I were married, we're kind of dating at the time, and I knew we were going to get married. She kind of maybe didn't know it. She waited like 2 years before she would date me, okay? But in the end, I won. Okay, I got her. So even though she wanted to date me at the time, I got her. But I had this car that I loved so much, and I spent so much time and energy modding this thing, painting it myself, doing fiberglass work, everything you could think of, I pretty much did to this car. And I enjoyed doing it because I'm one of those guys that likes to work with my hands. You know, I like to make things, create things. So I got so involved in this car, it became an idol in my life. It became my golden calf. And when that happened, I ended up veering off on this road that God didn't want me to journey on. He wanted me to focus on Him, go to Bible school, and get all this stuff done so He could propel me into the ministry He had called me to. But instead, I took a U-turn. I took a little side road here, country road, and went off to the side and did my own thing. And I firmly believe because of that happened, I missed out on a lot of opportunities to witness and change lives because I was distracted from my purpose, from what God called me to do. Well, God woke me up. I'll be real with you. Sometimes you don't want God to wake you up because when He wake you up, He really wake you up, okay? So I got in multiple car accidents with this car. Like, it was a target, dude. It was crazy. So, but on the second one, it completely totaled the car, annihilated it. So I ended up, I was driving at night. My dad and I were about to watch a movie. You know, I love Mountain Dew. Amen. Praise the Lord for Mountain Dew. So I decided to go get some Mountain Dew, and it was late at night. Well, I'm driving, and out of nowhere, this cow is in the middle of the road. Needless to say, I took him out. My golden calf took out a calf. Okay, my idol took out a calf. And the cow destroyed the whole front end of that car, cracked the windshield, busted the roof, landed on the ground. I could not believe it. I got out of the car freaking out like, what? You know? And then the cow, I think, is taunting me. The dude is like getting up, standing. He's like walking. He's like, is that all you got? You know, like, he wasn't done, dude. I could have probably backed into him. He still would have been standing. I don't know. And he was like I call him a teenage cow because he was like yay tall. He wasn't full grown. He wasn't like little baby, but he was in the middle. Teenage cow. Took him out. I didn't even get steak out of the deal. What is that? But anyway, we got to make sure that sometimes things in our lives that are distractions necessarily don't have to be bad things. Having a hobby is not a bad thing. But if we give in to too much of that good thing, it can become a distraction and lead us off course of God, or it can become an idol. And for me, it was both. So don't ever let distractions keep you from your purpose that God has for you today. Now, I'm going to tell you this. The Lord gave me this message, and I might be about to step on some toes. I love you. But I might be about to step on your toes a little bit. Is that okay? It's okay. I can step on some toes. Cool. Okay, so the Lord gave me a message, and I know Father's Day is coming up. Sorry, dads, I love you. And I am one, so. So Father's Day is coming up. But I feel like outside of setting the spiritual climate in our workplace, we need to set the spiritual climate in our homes. It says in God's word that the father is the one who's spiritually responsible for the household. So daddies, sorry, might burn you a little bit, not intentionally. So before you give me the stink eye, because I know Mom and dads know how to give the stink eye. I learned this. Okay, this is a gift or a curse. I haven't decided. But it's a gift. We know how to give the stink eye. Teenagers know how to do this too. So just remember, I prayed over this message and got confirmation. So before you give me the evil eye, pray about it, okay? You don't have to try to melt my face like Indiana Jones in the Lost Ark, okay? I'm not opening the thing, okay? But I'm going to tell you how it is. But we need to be, as leaders in our household, we need to be the one to set the spiritual climate. We need to pray with our kids. We need to speak the word over our kids. We need to pray with our wives. I'll tell you, my wife, she goes in the ghetto all the time. All the time, the girl in the ghetto, she in the hood. And it always scared me for the longest time because as a husband, you want to protect your family. But she was out there winning souls for Jesus, and I came to the realization that the only thing I could do was really pray and trust in the one true God who can really protect her more than I ever could. So every day I would lift her up in prayer, and I still lift her up in prayer when she's in the trenches. So husbands, same thing for wives, lift up your spouse. Encourage the gift in them. Pray over them. I'm going to say this as well too, man. Usher in that Holy Ghost presence, man. Listen to some worship music. My wife and I, we are very careful what we bring into our household because we firmly believe that everything has like a spirit attached to it. It's either an open door for God or an open door for the devil, plain and simple. So we need to be careful what we bring in our house. My wife and I, we don't watch R-rated movies. Now, yes, we've seen Passion of the Christ. Hello, that's R-rated. Surprise. Now, and we have seen Hacksaw Ridge, which was about a Christian guy who went to war that didn't want to kill anybody, right? But we filter everything that comes in our household because we don't want the enemy's presence in our house. We want the presence of God more than anything else. We don't even watch a lot of PG-13 movies because they got so much junk in them nowadays. It blew my mind the other week. My wife and I were at the beach, and I turned on Nickelodeon, and I didn't know this, but they had like a gay couple on Nickelodeon cartoons. And they were saying that they had changed it to reach more dynamic of families. My kid ain't watching Nickelodeon, bro. It ain't gonna happen. But that's what the world's encouraging. So you have to be careful what's coming in your home because now they're impacting our kids in a different way. In a different way. So my wife and I, we filter things out. I remember this one time. I used to love horror movies. Now, not the ones where everyone's getting like stabbed and slashed, which gore doesn't bother me. I don't really care. You know, if something did bother me, I know how to use a fast forward button. Okay, I'm that gifted. So I would fast forward if I needed to. But what happens is that being a spiritual being, being called by God, I was always drawn to the things of the supernatural. So I would always enjoy watching movies that dealt with ghosts and demons and things like that. Whether I believed in what they were saying or not, I was always intrigued by it. So I found out I started having these horrendous demonic encounters in my household. I would wake up in the middle of the night, not being able to move or being able to speak, being fully awake. I would have horrendous nightmares. And I'm not the type of guy that typically dreams. Like, if I'm dreaming, it's going to be something weird, like a unicorn coming down to play poker or something. Like, it's something off the wall. Like what the world did I eat? That's usually what comes out, you know? But in this situation, I was having these horrific nightmares, and you could feel a demonic presence in the house. And the Lord convicted me. And he said, why are you allowing a demonic spirit of fear to enter your house? And I said, God, what are you talking about? And he showed me that the movies were a doorway for the enemy to come in my household. Whether I believed it or not, whether I believed that the devil was going to do anything or not, the reality was it was an open door in my household. And it allowed a demonic spirit because by bringing it to my house, I gave it permission to be there. So we have to be careful what we bring in our house. We have to be careful what doors we open. So I want to encourage you, in your household, set the bar high. Set the standard high. The reality is, I've learned as a leader, you can only take someone as high as you've been. You can't take them higher than to a place you've never been. So if you're a 10 on the leadership scale, more likely the people that you lead will be about an 8. You might have some that come up to that 10 level. So you need to set the standards high because people are looking at you to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I'm going to tell you this. As a youth pastor, I get this a lot. My sister even did this to me, about slapped her. I can do that because she's my sister. But she came to me and she's like, I want you to fix your niece. Fix her? What's she breaking? I got duct tape. we'll make it work. But she wanted me to fix her because she was giving attitude. She wasn't really living for God. There were some things that she wanted pulled out of her. I can't fix your teenager. Jesus can, but I can't fix your teenager. But people come to me and bring their kids, and they expect me, even though I have, the Lord has given me a gift to be able to mentor and disciple them, and that does change lives. But the reality is, the biggest thing they're going to see is your life and how you live, because they spend more time with you than they do with me. So you parents are officially the ones that are supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You're supposed to be the example of Christ in the home. So make sure that you set the standards. Make sure that you are living a godly life. If you want your kids on fire, that's how you do it. It's not by throwing them at church and driving away. God wants us to be that thermostat, not the thermometer. Be the thermostat everywhere you go. Set the spiritual climate. Set the atmosphere. And don't be afraid and be ashamed to show love to people, to show joy, to show peace, to encourage people. If you sit there and you go to work and you're at home and you're throwing attitudes and you're cussing and you're doing all sorts of things and you're looking just like the rest of the world, I'll tell you right now, your witness is dead. No one is going to come to Jesus if you're looking just like they are. God calls us to be separate, to be consecrated before Him, and He calls us to live a life worthy of a call. And sometimes that means we have to throw off things that might hinder us. Paul says that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. You can make an excuse to have about anything in your life and be okay with it. Grace covers this. Grace covers that. You can make any excuse you want to keep something, but not everything is going to be for your benefit or your growth. Not everything that you do is going to bring someone to Christ. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, it may not just be a God thing. And you need some God to change people's lives. You need that presence to change people's lives. If I can go ahead, get my keyboardist up here. We're going to start getting ready to close. But I encourage you guys. Same thing with the graduates, people going into new seasons. I know a lot of new seasons are coming. But in everything you do, serve God. Don't be distracted by the things of this world. Don't be distracted by finances and life situations and circumstances. But instead, keep a kingdom mindset and a kingdom heart everywhere you go. Because lives are at stake. The reality is, it's heaven or hell. There's no in-between, okay? You ain't chilling at the salad bar. You're one or the other, okay? There's no purgatory here. It's one or the other. I'm going to tell you a story that we're closing to. There was a young man in my life. This was a time that I was a thermometer and not a thermostat. I was working in ministry, and those of you who have been in ministry or those of you who are really passionate about spreading the gospel, you know sometimes it can be really draining in a whole different level, because not only are you pouring out physically and mentally, you're pouring out spiritually. It's like a whole nother level of exhaustion sometimes. So I was pouring out and at the same time working at an auto parts store. And I had this young teenager. I was a youth pastor at this Baptist church. I love Baptists. They have food. So I was working at this Baptist church as a youth pastor, and God was doing some awesome things. We were building relationships, but I had this one teenager. He would never come to church except like on a VBS. That's the only time you saw this dude. But he knew I used to be a skater. I was the type of kid in school that I would skate 40 hours a week in high school. When I was out of school, I was skating. That's all I was doing. Late at night, whatever, I was out skating. And he was like, dude, why don't you come over to my house? We'll hang out. We'll skate and everything. And I built some ramps in my garage. And like, this dude had a massive garage because dad like painted cars. This thing was huge. It was probably about the size of the sanctuary in all reality. But he had ended up building all these ramps. And he kept encouraging me to come out to him, to come and skate and hang out with him. And I never did it. Never did it because I was always so tired. And I was like, oh, I allowed my flesh to distract me from kingdom purposes. I allowed my flesh to distract me from being a thermostat, and I became a thermometer. And I allowed that. And then one day, something crazy happened. This was down in Appomattox, Virginia. This dude decided to go on a rampage and kill a bunch of people. And they were all his family. This guy You can look it up. It happened in like 2008, 2009 Appomattox shooting. Last guy's name was like Spite. And he killed, I think it was between 8 and 13 people were killed that day. And it was a bunch of teenagers and then his family. What he did is he flipped out with a hunting rifle. He killed infants. He killed teens. He killed adults. He killed everything. And this young man that was my neighbor, his girlfriend was part of that family. And he called her up that day and he couldn't get an answer from her. So he got worried, like most sensible people would. He got worried what was going on because he couldn't get a hold of her. So he got a friend to take him up there so he could see his girlfriend. They found him that day laying right next to the car. He barely got out of the car and was shot and killed. I had an opportunity day in and day out to witness to this young man, to speak the word of the Lord over him, to encourage him, to build him up. And because of my own selfishness and allowing myself to be distracted from kingdom purposes and what God would have me to do, I missed out on an opportunity to change a life. God has divine appointments for you. Everywhere you go, it can be in the Taco Bell, it can be in Food Lion, wherever, God has a divine appointment for you today. Don't miss out. I missed out on that opportunity, and I always bring this up. Some of my students have heard this because it resonates with me. It resonates with me because you never know where they're at. For him, I firmly believe he's in heaven after talking with his family and learning some more about him, but man, that was a missed opportunity to spread the gospel. If I can get everyone just to go ahead and stand, we're going to go ahead and close out. If I can get every head bowed, every eye closed. Those of you who are starving to death, don't worry. I typically don't talk long. I'll get you to the buffet by 1 o'clock. I got you. All right? We're all friends here. But if there's anyone here today that says, you know what, I don't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, but I want to know of that unconditional love and that peace and that grace and that joy that you're talking about. You've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. If that's you today, if you would please just go ahead and raise your hand because we want to pray with you. Nobody looking around. Cool. Cool. All right, we got a couple. We're going to go ahead and pray for that real quick. You guys can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I invite you, Jesus, to become Lord of my life. I know that you died on the cross for my sins. And I pray that you wipe it white as snow. And that today I'm a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye still closed, if there's anyone in here today that says, you know what, I've been a thermometer way too long, and I want to be a thermostat. When I come into my workplace or come into my home, I want to set the standard. I want to set the bar high. And I'm going to give you a little story real quick. My leaders in the youth ministry, they have standards to adhere to be in that youth ministry. Why? Because I have one opportunity to change a teen's life. And they sign a petition saying that they're going to live holy. Because I want to change lives. It's kingdom purpose. This isn't a game. So is there anyone in here, and you can raise your hand, that you say, I want to be a thermostat. I don't want to be a thermometer. I want to set the spiritual climate everywhere I go. I want to change lives. I want to be on fire for God, and I want people to be on fire around me. If that's you, if you would raise your hand tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and pray for you guys, and then we're going to get our altar team up here in case anybody needs additional prayer. Dear God, I just want to praise you and thank you for who you are, Father, that you are holy and righteous, Father, that you've called each and every single person here by name, that you have a divine purpose and plan for them, God. And I pray that wherever they go, they would set the standard, they would set the bar high, Father, that they would close any open doors, Father, that you see, and that you would just convict them of that, God, that they can live even more holy and even more righteous, Father, so their witness would be that much greater and that much more effective, God. That they would be on fire and sold out for you, God. you would use them as willing vessels, Father, and that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise, God, but give them favor over every encounter and everything they do, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast today, and I just hope the service was a great encouragement to you, great blessing to your life. I hope you get the chance to join us sometime if you're ever near or in Elizabeth City area, because the atmosphere in this church is just, I mean, it's contagious and it's amazing. I'm constantly amazed at what God does every week in the lives of people. I'm privileged, humbled, honored to be part of it. If you're watching today and there are needs in your life, I want to say a prayer with you and pray with you over those needs. The greatest need that each person has, though, is for God to come into their heart and occupy that void or that vacuum that's in each human person. We were created to commune with God, to have a fellowship and relationship with Him. So if you're not serving the Lord, I'd love to pray with you. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart, and an amazing life change will begin today for you. So if you'd like to pray with me, please just close your eyes, say these words with me right now. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I repent of all my sin. I give it all to you today. Take away the guilt, take away the shame, take away the judgment against me. I accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. Help me now to live the rest of my life as His servant and in fellowship with God. In Jesus' name we pray. And you can all say amen wherever you are, whether you're in your car, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, wherever you can praise the Lord a little bit right there in your own environment. Thanks so much for joining us. And join us on our website. Join us on one of our social media pages. Let us know what's happened to you. We would be so encouraged and blessed to hear. So until next time, God bless.